I'd ask that you would stand and we'll have our prayer said by our deputy clerk, Paul Parker, please.
O Lord, our heavenly Father, teach us to put to good account whatever talents thou hast lent us, to discuss with patience and zeal the municipal affairs which have come before us this day, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Let me welcome everyone here this evening. I would ask council at this particular time, have anyone any disclosures they wish to declare? Councilor Sutton, you have your hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a pecuniary interest with item 8.2.
8.2 relative to?
The grants to community groups.
Very good. Anyone else? Yes.
Thank you. I have the same interest.
Okay. There's been two conflicts identified, and certainly they will vacate their seats at the time of the dealing with those. Anyone else, and if perhaps during the course of this meeting one find themselves in conflict, notification to the chair identifying exactly what the conflict is, then we certainly will have it entered into the minutes. That being said, that brings us, of course, to the minutes of the previous meetings, and those are the minutes of June the 9th and the special in camera of May the 20th. And what is council's pleasure? Councilor, the pronunciation is Pilon. Yes.
Thank you, sir.
You're quite welcome.
I'll move the minutes of June 9th and a special in camera council meeting May 20th to be received.
It's been
adopted.
Been moved by Councilor Pilon to adopt those particular minutes, supported by Councilor Davey. Any discussions? Councilor Pouget, if you would.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. I just have some concerns with the special in-camera council meeting of May 20th. I believe some of those minutes are not accurate, but I know I can't speak to it because it was in camera. So.
That's right. On the motion as put forward, all in favor? Opposed? Motion has been carried. The next item, of course, then brings us to the presentation. Then this evening we have members of the ministry here, and I'll let our municipal manager, Mr. Phipps, do the introductions relative to Tim Riel and his cohort.
Thank you, Mayor. We have with us, and I'm not sure in order, certainly not in order of importance nor age, we have Roger May from the London office and Tim Riel from the London office, joined by Jamie Lanoux from the Deloitte London office, who is the successful contractor and will be undertaking the financial review for the town. I think Roger is going to speak first.
Thank you, Mike, and good evening, Your Worship, and members of Amherstburg Council. I'm Roger Moyer. I'm the local government manager in the ministry's office in London, and we are here this evening to introduce Jamie Lanoux with Deloitte, a firm that's been retained to conduct the financial management and practices review. Just by way of a bit of a backdrop, in early March of this year, the former minister offered to facilitate the financial management and practices review for the town. Late March, council accepted the minister's offer to do so, and we've been busy ever since with a procurement process, which has resulted in Deloitte being a successful firm to undertake the review. The elements of the review are something that council has seen previously. Just review them very, very quickly. There's sort of six major areas or major themes that Deloitte will be examining and analyzing and making recommendations on. The first of those is matching revenues and expenses in Amherstburg. Second major theme is, I'm going to call it municipal assets, reserves and reserve funds, something that review will look at. Communication, council on financial matters. So communication between municipal staff and the elected council. A fifth bucket, I think, is the term we've used before, fifth element, agreements, policies, procedures, and bylaws. And the sixth and final area, financial practices and policies. So those are six general headings, general categories, and under those headings are more details of what the review will entail. And our purpose this evening was to attend before council and introduce the successful firm, Deloitte. And to my right, Jamie Lanoux is a partner with Deloitte. And Jamie and his team will be getting the review in earnest this week. We met with staff just before council, and the team will be here on Wednesday to get going. In terms of timelines, so when we embarked on this journey with council, it was critical, I think, for the review, the results of the review, the recommendations, to be presented to open council in advance of the municipal election, getting going in earnest on nomination day, which is it's Friday, the 12th of September. So it's in early September. We hope to be back with Jamie and his colleagues to present the findings of the review. So, Your Worship, the purpose is to introduce Deloitte this evening, and we turn it over to Jamie.
Thank you, Roger. Jamie, if you would.
Yeah, not much to comment on. A bit of background. I've been with Deloitte for 20 years. I've spent the last 17 years working specifically with municipalities on a variety of financial management systems implementations, internal audit, internal control type assignments, and IT security. The team that we'll be bringing in have a lot of municipal experience here in Southwestern Ontario. We'll be staffing out of our Kitchener and Windsor offices to do the work, and hope to be on site for about 3 to 4 weeks in terms of field work, and then we'll be pulling back to get our draft report put together and work that through with the ministry.
Thank you very much. Any questions of council at this time? Councilor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. Through you to Roger, can I answer this? Roger, in our, first of all, I want to thank you for your presentation, but in the agreement, we use the words unfettered access to council and to administration. What do you mean by that? Because I'm asking specifically, when you say unfettered access, do we have the right to give you any information that we found out in camera pertaining to finances or to emails pertaining to finances?
I think, Your Worship, through to the councillor, the town of Amherstburg sought the review. And I know council has entered into a memorandum of understanding with the ministry, and you used the exact words, the unfettered access. I think the intent behind that is you've asked for this review to be undertaken. The municipality's records and staff need to be readily accessible and open, not only to the ministry, but really more importantly to Deloitte, who are undertaking that review. So that was the intent, is Amherstburg should be an open book for the purposes of this review and analysis.
Thank you. Anyone else? Councillor Sutton, if you would.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, I know we have a pretty wide scope and in terms of all the areas of concern. Should the audit produce any reason to expand that scope, what would the reporting procedure back to council be in order to authorize that, because there may be further costs involved if we were to exceed the current scope?
Through you, Your Worship, good question. One that I hadn't contemplated upon my arrival here today. We think that, as you suggested, the scope is pretty broad. We've worked on those elements not only with your staff, but they have been to council. Actually, and I know certain elements were added to the review,
right?
And certain specific wording was adjusted in the memorandum agreement, the unfettered access agreement, at council's request. I think, again, through you, Your Worship, that would be a bridge we would cross when we came upon it. Should the work need to be extended.
Thank you.
And just in that regard, and I think you touched on it, Roger, when you suggested the fact that the elements and the wording that was added, I think, and with the, I believe it is the $100,000, I would hope that that amount would incorporate that particular part if the case arises. Anyone else? If not, what's your pleasure? Councilor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, to Jane. I'm just wondering, we talked about it a while back, we're going to be dealing with the last 5 years, basically. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is there, through you, Mr. Worship, that is my understanding.
And as Councilor Sutton mentioned, if you had to, then we would decide, or you would decide with our administration, if we go further than that, if there was a cause or something.
Through you, Mr. Worship, yeah, I think that the key here is to note that we're going to be looking at financial management practices and really looking at, you know, what's been done over those years, as opposed to really drilling down on specific financial transaction line items. So from that perspective, I don't see us having to go too far back, but if we do, that will definitely be brought back here for discussion.
Councilor David, if you would.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you. And in your experience, have you found that going back that far, those 7 years, would be an adequate length of time to get a good picture? If you found, say, for instance, you found on the first day of 2005, there was information you needed before that, would you, in your experience, having done this, I'm sure, before, you would have a good picture, or would you feel that it would be critical to go back further? Because it's always a challenge to know how far back do we go.
To you, Mr. Mayor. It is a tough one, and I think we'll have to wait and see what kind of issues we get into and what we see before I can fully answer that question. But I do think that this review is about understanding where the town is at today and what needs to be, you know, changed going forward. So I think anything looking back would be just material transaction or issue in terms of trying to dig back that far. That said, we don't know what we don't know until we get in and start looking around.
Thank you, Mayor. I just for Council's information, I think it's important to note that we learned earlier this evening in our meeting with the Ministry and Deloitte that it's going to be a very intense 3 weeks or so for the finance staff. So that, and I know that some of you have requests in for information from staff on various issues. But right now, this is the top priority, and we have to keep our people focused on that. So all I ask is the patience of council on some of the requests for information, because we have to stay on top of this.
Councilor Sutton.
I'll move the presentation be received.
It's been moved by Councilor Sutton. Is there a supporter? Councilor Davies, all in favor?
Please. Thank you, Mayor. I do have another
question.
Do you when do you expect? Do you expect to meet with
the
councilors individually? And if so, what is the time frame for that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The time frames we're still working on, but we will be on site for the next 3 weeks. And one of the first things we'll be doing on Wednesday morning is identifying all the stakeholders that we will be meeting with. And what we'll try to do is just have a few open times for council in general that we can try to slot you into. But definitely we'll want to meet with whoever wants to be met with from a council perspective, in addition to the folks from staff that we'll be meeting with.
On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. Next item.
Next item is 5.2, Drama and Music Arts Program for Youth. Rick Daly, Sarah, and Kerry Brown.
I would ask council if they would bring forward the report item 12A at this time. Moved and supported by Councilor Pilon. Moved by Deputy Mayor Sutherland. Supported by Councilor Pilon. All in favor? carried. Rick, if you would.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of council, for allowing us to present to you a new programming concept that was developed for the youth of our community. Since the opening of the now Libro Credit Union Center, recreation programming has gone from 1,400 residents registered in 21 programs in 2011 to 2,700 residents registered in 42 programs in 2013. And in 2014, recreation programming is taking steps to create a bridge for elementary school-aged children who have a desire to pursue arts-based education and activities and possibly continue this path during their secondary school years. To that end, we have created a new arts education program which promotes positive child development, and it's called Drama and Music Art Program for Youth. And what I want to do is I want to introduce to you two of the key components in the development of this program. Sarah Palaccio, who is our programming coordinator, who is to my immediate right, as well as Carrie Brown, who is one of the instructors, and she's to my far right there. And some of you may have heard of Carrie Brown in the past. The idea of the concept came from a collaboration of two instructors, one being Carrie Brown and the other one being Teresa Medved Arum, who unfortunately isn't able to be here today. Carrie and Sarah, as well as Teresa, met several times to go over an idea that germinated from the ability basically the ability to provide programming for all our residents, whether it's recreation, sport, dance, and now we're going into drama and music arts. And with that in mind, I want to turn it over to Sarah to provide you with some of the keynotes of what the program is and introduce our two instructors as well.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council, for having us present tonight. As Rick said, my name is Sarah, and I'm the program coordinator for recreation programs. I wanted to introduce you two key components to our programs, and as a program coordinator, I can say that programs are nothing without quality instructors. So our first instructor and developer we have here is Carrie Brown, who is to my right. As Rick said, most of you probably have heard of Carrie Brown. She's a very avid local singer and songwriter. She's been in this industry for over 20 years. She's been a vocal coach for 12 years. She has a lot of experience performing not only with professional bands and musicians, but also locally in our festivals, as well as at Caesars Windsor. She has her own vocal studio, so she also coaches students individually there. And just this past weekend, she was very successful in organizing Amherstburg's Got Talent, which was a talent show for children and youth. And I believe over 600 people attended that this weekend, so it was very successful. Our second instructor that we have, unfortunately, was not able to be here tonight, but this is Teresa Medved Arum, and she is our drama program developer. Teresa has a minor in dramatic arts and literature from the University of Windsor, which gives her great credentials for this program, as well as she has a Bachelor of Education degree, which also enhances the program because she has great teaching experience with that. Probably her most highest thing on her resume, I would say, would be working for the Windsor Women Working with Immigrant Women program, where she has developed programs with teens and youth who are immigrants to Windsor, and those programs consisted of not only drama but lots of other art mediums as well. So the program itself, it's basically an arts program for youth ages 6 to 12 or 6 to 13, depending on the program. And it's going to give children the opportunity to explore drama and music on an individual and group basis. So we're going to try to start catering to not only sports-based programs and recreation, we want to expand that to a diversify our programs to also include a base of children that may be interested in something different. So with that being said, we're trying to encourage children to explore and communicate their ideas and thoughts, feelings in a creative and artistic manner, and we are starting with this program to do that. Some of the objectives of the program, it's going to give youth the opportunity to develop and build new friendships, strengthen their sense of identity, and most importantly, I think, gain self-confidence and a new self-image to help with their leadership skills. And we also want to try to have art be utilized as a tool to express ideas. I think it's a lost, something that's been a lost cause lately, and we really want to try to bring that back to our community. Further, we want to incorporate various art forms, not only just drama and music. We also want to incorporate visual art as well as photography and other forms of art. We want the whole community to be involved, and we also want to incorporate arts with social action as well in our community. And our program evaluation, so with the program, it's going to actually follow the Ontario curriculum for arts. So it's going to actually be based on what they teach in schools for students. With the feedback we get from parents and the instructors, we are trying to better the programs as well. And we want to try to collaborate with the children to see what they want to learn and what interests them. And by doing that, we are going to, we'll speak more about how we're going about doing that. But we want the kids to develop the program as well alongside us so we understand what they are looking for or what to offer them in the future. So with that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Carrie Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to start with the artistic mission for this program. The Drama and Music Art Program for Youth is going to provide youth with a strong sense of community through education in the arts. It's a place for youth to enjoy the art experience, to learn the fundamentals of drama and music, and to discover and create and further develop their communication and critical thinking skills through drama and music. Now, the need for an arts education program. In the 12 years that I've been coaching vocalists of all ages, I've received such valuable feedback, not only from the individual vocalists, but also from their parents, families, and teachers from their schools. We have all seen such an increase in self-esteem, attitude, behavior, and leadership as well. By expressing themselves musically, they're now gaining self-confidence. They're starting to participate in class more often. They're performing speeches with ease. They're getting involved in community events and reaching out within their community through performances and volunteer work, and so much more. This is why an art education program is such a valuable necessity for our community and our youth. The services. A safe, positive, and fun space for the youth to play, discover, and express their creative ideas outside of the classroom setting. We're going to place drama and music together, and this program will allow participants to sign up anytime throughout the year. We have trained and licensed professionals who enjoy creating and having fun at the kids' level, and incorporation of various art forms to assure dynamic and enriched content.
I'll talk a little bit about what the operations are gonna look like for this program. While each block of time, and we're going to divide it into blocks of time, and those will be divided amongst themes, concepts, or methods of expression. The participants who are enrolling don't have to enroll right at the beginning of the program. We're going to design it so that people can come in and kids can come to the classes and to the course at any time during the running of the program. As well, there is no prerequisite for drama or music experience. They can come and basically learn to express themselves while they're at the course. The education components, there's a couple of education components. One of them being that we're gonna start this program off with camps in the summertime. This coming summer, there's gonna be one drama camp and one music camp. They're gonna be week long. And they're going to run separately from each other on different times. What we want to do is we want to encourage participants to look at going into both camps. And this way they'll get the best of both worlds from Carrie and from Teresa. And it'll also allow Teresa and Carrie to collaborate on the curriculum of those camps. The next step is we're going to look at our PA days that similar to what we do for Home Alone and our babysitting courses, we'll run those on PA days to allow students to come while they're off school and learn about music and drama. then what's going to happen is, starting in January of 2015, we're going to roll out the full arts program. It'll be a 7-month program consecutive. But again, they don't have to, we're looking at price points for all of this. They don't have to enroll in the whole program. They can take pieces, they can take components, or if this is what they really want to do, they can enroll in the entire program.
So just to go over some of the program start dates, as Rick mentioned, we do have a drama camp this July, and it's going to incorporate movement, improv, pantomime, tableau, puppetry, all of those aspects, as well as music camp, which is at the end of July, stage presence, movies, musicals, etc., things like that. And again, we are going to try to have both of them collaborate, Teresa and Carrie, to bring both camps together. And by doing it this way, we're hoping to have gauge some interest for programs in the future. And so far, the numbers are pretty pleasing for the camps. And then beginning in September, we have our PA Day workshops. So on the 26th, we have both the drama theme and a vocal themed workshop. So a drama workshop is going to have stage presence and an introduction to movement and sound. And then the music theme will include an introduction to voice through various themes. And then again, on November 21st, we will have two separate ones as well on the same day. So with the drama theme, we are going to do improv and character development. And then 21st November, it's popular culture through current music and songwriting with artist development. And then once we've rolled out those, we'll move into January, where we're going to launch the program. And hopefully, by doing it this way, we'll gauge a good interest of who is interested in the program, instead of just launching the program straight out without having anything like this ahead of time.
Okay, now what you're looking at is some pictures. These pictures are of students of mine performing out in the community. So top left is Canada Day performance at the Ice Cream Festival. The bottom right is at Caesars Windsor for the Dancing with the Stars. And then just recording and having fun at their performances. This next picture is a Christmas concert at the Libro Center that I produced for my students. And then following this picture will be some of Teresa's pictures of her with her drama courses and activities.
So with that being said, we'll entertain any questions if council does have any.
Any questions of council? We'll start with Councillor Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. Well, I am more than impressed. I certainly read the report over, and I was excited when I read that, but I was really impressed. My daughter, when she was very young, I did a similar kind of program, and I put her in it because she was so shy and so to herself, and she came out really outgoing, and it really helped her express herself much better. So that's why I'm so excited. But I do think it is wonderful. I'm impressed with the high level of credentials to provide to the children of our community, and I do believe that the skill sets will allow them to support a development of their character, again, outside the school, and certainly will enhance any programs they do in the school as well. They often don't have a chance to have the opportunity to have this high quality level of experience, and I do think it is wonderful. A couple of minor questions is, what are the enrollment limits? Because I can see this easily taking off. But minimum, maximum?
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. We basically, the program will be run through some of the requirements under High Five, which is a Parks and Recreation Ontario initiative for program development and program maintenance. And what it basically says with regards to enrollment is that for every 15 youth, and that's being 5 and up, we require one instructor. So if we have more than 15, obviously we're gonna look at two instructors.
And thank you. And will the JumpStart program be able to be implemented for children who have more struggling economic means?
Not necessarily JumpStart, because JumpStart has a specific target when it comes to their funding. But we do have a policy that council approved called Access to Affordable Recreation, and that policy allows us to work with ACS, Amherstburg Community Services, to provide spots to individuals that don't have the financial means to enroll on their own. We do provide spots, provided that we do reach the break-even point prior to their acceptance.
Are there any further questions? Councilor Peel.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I'm noticing here you've kind of stuck to an age limit, 6 to 13. Is that concrete, or what if a 14-year-old come up to Jean-Gal and, geez, I never got in this before, I'd like to. What do you got to tell her?
We would look at that on an individual basis. We look at what the groups are going to be like. Normally, when it comes to our age limits, we look at 3 to 5 is our preschool. That's what High Five identifies as preschool. Our 6 to 13 is the majority of our youth-based programming. Anything above that, it goes into another realm of requirement. We haven't had that opportunity yet as a community to look at those types of programming, simply because the numbers haven't dictated to us that we have that requirement. But we would certainly look at those individuals on an individual basis.
Good. Anyone else? What's your pleasure relative to the presentation? Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the report and to receive.
And moved, supported by Councilor Davies. Further dialogue? If not, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. Next item.
Item 7, reports from Community Services, 7.1, request on behalf of Amherstburg Community Services.
Councilor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that report be received and that council endorse the application
Councilor
request.
Councilor DePasquale, could you turn the light on there? Is there a supporter for that motion? Councilor Pouget supports that motion. Any further discussions? Councilor Peon, you had your hand up?
Yes, I did. I was just wondering, how much time is left in that a lease agreement there? Like, the lease is for a certain number of years, I believe, correct? I just wonder if we know what's left.
You want to find that out for you?
Dean? No, I agree with doing
Excuse
this.
Excuse me, Dean might have that information for you.
Mr. Mayor, no, sorry, I was just going to say that I can definitely find that out and return an answer. Off the top of my head, I couldn't possibly remember.
But I'm just wondering, this won't have any effect on the grant or applying for the grant?
Mr. Mayor, you mean, just to clarify, you mean the fact that it's a temporary or a limited term lease?
Yes.
No, I don't believe it will have an impact. I think what they're looking for is council and the town to endorse their application, and by way of that, just sort of saying that they buy into the idea of what the money will ultimately be spent on.
Go ahead. Paula?
Okay, just in response to the question on how long the lease is for, it lasts until 2021.
Okay. Thank you for that information, Paul. On the motion. All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried again unanimously.
Item 7.2, special occasion entry to King's Navy Yard Park by horse and carriage.
I have that recommendation before you. What's council's pleasure? Can everyone speak at once? Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that we receive the report and decline the recommendation.
There is support for that. Councilor Sutton supports that motion. Further discussions? Councilor Davis.
I'd like to ask the question whether or not we've had any incidents with the horse and buggy program up to date. Certainly, the stats that were in this presentation suggest that marriages are on the rise in Amherstburg, and certainly we're in a licensing business. We've certainly have an opportunity to reflect what a lot of tourist towns do, and that is provide services that are quaint. This is limited. There's a lot of boundaries into which we would be doing this. It's been happening for quite a while now, and I'd like to know if there's been any incidents that should suggest that it's not in our best interest as a tourist town to have this service going into the park for special occasions.
Mr. Mayor, if we're referring to health and safety incidents, then I'm not aware of any that have occurred.
I think that you might ask if perhaps there haven't been none because there hasn't been horse and carriages in the park. I think one of the things we've got to look at here, this isn't Central Park. We don't have the room that would accommodate, in my estimation, horse and carriage traffic going through there. Certainly we welcome weddings in our park. We've got a fountain there and people take advantage of that for their pictures and what have you, but I think in the best interest of continuing this and having people still come to Amherstburg or the residents in Amherstburg enjoying the park and having an outdoor wedding and all of those amenities that it provides, I think we should, in good conscience, at least that's the way I feel about it, is to ensure that that park is going to remain a park. I don't think it's conducive to a horse and carriage going through there. And I believe the motion that is before us, it speaks to that very fact. Councillor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to comment. I agree with what you're saying. Like, none of the park pathways are even close to Highway Traffic Act or whichever act. They don't meet any kind of regulations. I think we were kind. The guy kind of slipped in there, or I don't know how he got in there, but he should have never been allowed. And I'm totally against it because of possible problems we may have.
On the motion, Councillor Puget.
Okay, thank you for that. And I agree with Councillors Sutton and Deputy Mayor Sutherland and Councillor DePasquale. We have a very clear bylaw, and the Accessibility Act 2005, the Ontario's with Disabilities Act 2001, and the Blind Persons Act are very clear in what we can and cannot do. And the Canadian Charters of Rights and Freedoms also provides that persons with disabilities are equal before and under the law and have the right to the equal protection and equal benefit of the law. And the Ontario Human Rights Code supersedes all legislation in this province, and it is the highest level of non-discrimination for people with disabilities. And so we would be taking a big chance if we allow the horse and buggy to go in, because some of those areas are very narrow. There's nothing there to protect people in that area. Years and years ago, they had the town of Amherstburg saw fit to have two bylaws to protect our people in that park from any horse and carriage. And now our park is even busier. We welcome that. And it would be unfair to us that if we put this horse and buggy, the two horses and a buggy in these narrow walkways, and those horses got spooked. I'm not prepared to do that, so I'm going to be voting.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you. Just one final comment, Mr. Mayor. I believe that when the park was originally built, it was stated there most emphatically that it was to be a passive park forever and a day, and I think it should stay that.
Well, I just think that, listen, we put bylaws in place, but we have to look at them to ensure that they meet the needs of the time. We talk about a passive park, and it depends on what you want to call a passive park. There are some people that don't even want to see people in there sitting on a blanket with their children and having a sandwich. Parks are parks, but I just think, really, this particular request is not one of those that we should be revisiting the bylaws, which we have before. Councillor Pilon.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I think times are changing, and I don't see why we don't want to change a little bit with it. I think I understand the concerns of safety. I totally agree with that. But if we keep getting these requests, we ought to look at somehow possibly another year of having a path there that is wide enough for a horse. I don't think you're going to have, it's not going to be like the old Wild West with stagecoaches running all over, you know what I mean? Like, there will be controls on this. But we do have to get into the future here. Like, if that's the thing that these people getting married want to have, then let's look at it. Let's not hold ourselves back.
Councilor Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you. Well, you know, and I understand all of these arguments, but I think that council is going to regret this and these kinds of decisions. It is an entertainment. It is a draw to our town. It is one more draw. There's many draws, but different people come for different reasons. I mean, certainly anybody who's been to St. Jacob's, part of the charm is that people are got their horse and buggies going up and down the street, which have been going on for 100 years. We had horses and buggies running up and down our streets for 100 or more years. We just stopped doing it because the automobile took over. Certainly, I have had no complaints about the horses. In fact, wherever I go, the children come and they pet the horses and they want to go for rides. I have also noted the horses going through, and it charms the people in the park. So I have not received a single complaint about it. Certainly our parks do need to be reviewed on a regular basis. Certainly there's a number of positive things to having it. I've not had a single complaint against it. I have not had, we could be concerned about, we could put ourselves into a bubble on all kinds of issues in this town that we might be harmed by. I think we're more at risk of crossing Sandwich Street at the ice cream parlor and get hit by a car than we are by getting hit by a horse and buggy. And certainly in the park, you know, the parks people have looked at all kinds of safeguards like notifications, putting up signs saying the horse and buggy is going to be in that park at such and such a time, and I would think it might even bring people to want to take pictures, because this is what they do all the time. They ask the horse and buggy gentlemen to stop so they can get a picture of the horse with them standing beside them, and it's just one more wonderful thing that this town draws people to compared to the other towns in our particular Essex County. And I think it's a will be regrettable. I do hope that, and I get a sense that it will be turned down, and I think that's what happens in democracy. But I do hope that we have an opportunity to review it, taking objections that people have and moving on. This is certainly a passive park many times, Councilor, but there's lots of times when it is not a passive park and it's been accepted.
I just want to say, listen, I understand we're not stopping the horse and carriage or trying to stop the horse and carriage in the town of Amherstburg. I've been to many communities, and certainly they don't have the ability because of the size of the particular park, but they have the horse and carriage. They have a carriage that looks just like a pumpkin, and they bring the couple right to the, on the curb right before it, and they can walk into the park or the area that would accommodate them to hold that particular ceremony. And let's be real about this. This is Dalhousie Street. They're the place that is appropriate for that horse and carriage to pull up. The bride can come out of there and take her train right to where the gazebo is very nicely and have a wonderful ceremony and still take pictures, and we could have people still come in for those particular ceremonies. So I don't think that we should try and make it look like if we don't support it. If this council doesn't support it, certainly that it's a killjoy and we're losing an opportunity within our community. That's not the case. I think we certainly embrace people coming in. We certainly embrace them using the Navy Yard for those types of events. And all we are saying at this particular time is certainly that to accommodate a horse and a carriage in those confined areas is just not a prudent thing to do. On the motion, Councilor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You made the distinction I was going to make in terms of the difference between allowing a horse and carriage ride through the streets of Amherstburg in our downtown core, as opposed to the ability to have that horse and carriage enter Kings Navy Yard Park. And the bottom line is, quite frankly, we just simply do not have the infrastructure in place in the park to accommodate a horse and carriage and people with any type of mobility issues at the same time. And unfortunately, we do live in a very litigious society, and we would be opening ourselves to risk. How minimal or real that would be, certainly you could argue both sides, but until such time as we have the proper width pathways that would allow such an endeavor, and not to be flippant, but we would be putting the cart before the horse. So I think what we need to do is just to, realize that this was a good request. From time to time, we're going to get those and look at it, but this time I think the proper thing to do is to deny the request, but to allow the carriage rides through the downtown core to continue.
To deal with the motion itself and the request. The motion is on the floor. All in favor?
Could we have a recorded vote, please?
Sure. I think council should be aware this isn't the first time this request has came before this council or other council.
The motion on the floor, is to receive the report and decline the recommendation. Councilor Davies.
Opposed.
Councilor DePasquale.
Support.
Councilor Pilon.
Opposed.
Councilor Cugé.
Support.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Support.
Councilor Sutton.
Support.
Mayor Hurst.
Concurrence with the motion.
Motion carries.
Next item.
Item 7.3, License of Occupation, Parks Canada Agreement for Canada Day 2014.
This is something that comes before every year. What's your pleasure, Councilor Sutton?
I'll move the report be received and that bylaw 2014-56 be read three times, finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same.
Supported by Councilor Pinault. Further discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Item 8, reports to finance, 8.1, vacant unit tax rebate program results.
Councilor Peel.
I move the report be received. Council approve the rebate that is presented and bylaw 2014-55. Being a bylaw to strike taxes from the tax roll, being taken as having been read three times and finally passed, the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign the same there.
Supporter for that motion. Councilor DePasquale supports that motion. Discussion. Councilor Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you. And I read this and I know it's a bylaw that we are aware of on a regular basis. I'm just wondering what the criteria is for the vacant unit tax rebate program, so that we could get a sense of, is it a year, 2 years, 5 years? Is there anything done to encourage these properties to be accommodated?
Greg, would you speak to that, please?
Through you, Your Worship. This vacant unit rebate is covered under Section 364 of the Municipal Act. To summarize the qualifications for that, it is for a rebate of the prior year's taxes during the portion of which the unit was vacant. So if the vacancy was only from, say, January 1st to July 31st, they'd only get the rebate during that portion, and it would be 30 or 35% of the taxes paid during that portion, and that's the basic qualifications. It has to be vacant for no shorter than 90 days, or between 90 days and a full year, and it has to be a commercial or industrial property, and they must submit application to the town yearly up until the last day of February, where they we have a standard form they have to fill out. They have to provide proof that the property was indeed vacant. Sometimes I conduct site visits. I speak with staff if the property has since been leased, just to confirm the accuracy of the application received.
Supplementary?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you. And, I appreciate in very difficult times when industries and commercial businesses, especially residential facilities are having difficult times in trying to find people to either work in those buildings or start a business again. I'm concerned about, do we have a problem ever where somebody doesn't have an active program to try to have their buildings utilized? Because it does cause challenges and a blight on the community if there are buildings left vacant for year after year after year. Especially when they haven't done anything to enhance the facade so that it doesn't reflect on the rest of the economic status of the town.
Councilor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you.
Great.
Thank you. Just a question. You mentioned industrial and commercial. What about residential? Is there rebates on residential people, or they vacate their house for a year or two?
Through you, Your Worship, there is no rebate for residential. It is strictly commercial and industrial properties.
Any further questions? Hearing none. On the motion, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried again unanimously. 8-2.
Item 8-2, grants to community groups and organizations.
It would be noted, Councillor Sutton and Councillor DePasquale. What's Council's pleasure relative to the recommendation before you, Councillor Davies?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you. I'm not quite sure why this recommendation has been adjusted from our budget hearings, but I know that we were very thoughtful. We were very thoughtful with all of these groups from A to F, recognizing that they struggle to find funding in other sources, and also with our late budget hearings, is that a lot of them have already set their budgets based on what our budget hearings suggested we would do, and I'm concerned about supporting. In fact, I can't support this at this time because I would like to know they have already set their budgets. They're all extremely worthy organizations, and I don't want to break into every single one of them, but I know some of them have lost other sources of funding in the past, and they really don't have a lot of other grants out there. The other thing is that some have worked extremely hard. They all have worked extremely hard, but certainly, for example, the North American Black Historic Museum has worked diligently at shifting its focus and has really turned around the whole structure of its activities and its the draw to the community, and it certainly deserves our full funding. As does the Amherstburg Community Services, as does the Food and Fellowship, although it's interesting what his request was. But certainly Amherstburg Historic Sites Association has really been under the gun with different funding sources dropping. They have had to reduce their staff by to half-time, and their major source of funding has almost evaporated. So I think that we would put them at risk to go back to the original numbers. Certainly if the next council wanted to reconsider this and had a debate and funding was different for these groups, I could see it being brought up again, but we made that decision. I think we should stick to it.
Councillor, just before I go to Councillor Pilon, the CAO wants to speak to this. Let's share what we talked about and budgeted for in our budget session.
Councillor, it was our understanding that during the budget sessions, you approved a lump sum of $30,000, not individual grants to organizations, and that's the way we took it. And so with this recommendation that we brought back to Council, that was to also allow a buffer to provide some additional funds for the balance of the year. I think there was another $6,000. And that was because you approve a number of one-offs throughout the year, and there is nowhere that those one-offs are budgeted for. So we look to take it out of this account. So that left a buffer. If you leave it till 2015, that's fine. But I would certainly urge Council to revisit its grants policy in terms of what criteria you use to distribute grants.
Councilor Pugin. No, I'm sorry, you had your hand up first. Go ahead, Councilor Pilon, because I was going to you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I remember correctly, we had a large debate on this, and we talked about should we cut them. And that went on for quite some time, and I'm almost positive when we, at the end, we said we'll give them the same as we did last year. And that would be roughly, I think, what they asked for. I haven't couldn't find last year. I don't know what we gave them, but my recommendation would be go back to last year, what we gave them, and do that.
But the problem I have with this is we've had our budget session, and we've made a decision on what we were going to give them. And so this is the first time I've ever seen us come out of budget and then sit here to make a presentation and then say we're going to change it. This is something foreign.
We came out, and by meaning that, you said we came out of budget giving them what they asked a lot.
No, I never said that.
We did not talk $4,000.
That's what I'm saying, Councilor Pilon. I'm saying we come out of budget knowing exactly what we had agreed to.
Yes.
And now it's
the
not
report
here.
Changed to us, yes.
That's right.
I'm not happy.
Councilor Pouget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. And I concur entirely with Councilor Davey's statements. And it was my understanding that we put aside $30,000 each and every one of these groups. They were advised that they had to get and follow policy F10, and that was that they had to have it in at a certain time. They each presented a very good business case. Each and every one of these, the Amherstburg Community Services, they all deserve this money that we had allocated to them. So my suggestion is that we take the $30,000 that we assured them that they were going to get, and we break it down. My concern is for the Amherstburg Food and Fellowship Mission. They only requested $1,500, but somehow or other we're not going to give them $4,000. They didn't request that. So my suggestion is that we set it at $1,500 as they requested, as they put forward in their business case. The community services, we give them the $5,000. The Amherstburg Historic Sites, we give them $6,500. The House of Shalom, $6,500. The Historical Black Museum, $6,500. The Symphony, $4,000. And that comes to the $30,000.
So what we are saying is that in the budget session we had said we would give them the same grant that they had the previous year.
Yes, we need to know.
And so that's what this is the recommendation before you. I would suggest that you would, whatever you want to do, you will have to move non-concurrence with the recommendation and include a motion that these individuals be paid, as we had suggested in budget, the same as we had did last year. Yes.
Did we stipulate that it was going to be the same as last year? Because I don't recall that statement. I just recall that that it was the $30,000 that was going to be divvied up between these groups.
I thought when they added it up, it came to 30. But I, during that discussion, I thought they had suggested, and as Councilor Pilon had said, we've had a spirited discussion relative to that. And I thought from that discussion in budget that we had concurred with the fact that the amount that we had gave these particular grants out would be the same, remain the same as they were in the year 2013. Councilor Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through yes, I see. Yes, if we totaled up what each one of them had asked for, it would come to 32. And we were quite clear we only wanted 30. It's always tricky to say which one isn't going to get the full amount that they want. And certainly trying to determine which ones just have their backs against the wall in relationship to any less than they had before is always a tricky one. But I do believe that these core groups are ones that enhance our community. They enhance our the people who live in our community. They enhance the quality of our lives. They enhance the quality of our children and services. And if we're going to save money somewhere, this is a small amount compared to many other places where we could be cutting back. And I really am concerned about that. I'd have to look more thoroughly at the recommendation that Councillor Puget made, in that some of them are going to say, well, how can we give that person a full amount less of? But I do think that if we can keep it within that 30,000, we can certainly look at a reserve next year, or the next council can look at a reserve.
But I think we're getting off this, and I think what we need to do is adhere to exactly what we had agreed to in the budget session. But Mike, you wanted to speak to this? You wanted Wendy?
Wendy may wish to add something to this, but I think it's important, Councilor. You have, if you're looking at what was requested, it's 32,000. You budgeted 30,000, so somehow you need to either agree that you're going to spend more than was budgeted, or you need to cut back some.
I believe what council is saying is that they've agreed to 30. The initial amount was 32. They agreed to 30, and that's what they want to stick with. But they don't want it to be allotted out in increments of 4,000 each, but rather than it be closer to what it was for the year 2013. I'm looking for a motion. Councilor, Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll move the receive the report and reject the numbers that are put there, and I'm prepared to add another motion.
I think what we would do is move non-concurrence with the recommendation, first of all. And then
non-concurrence with the recommendation.
There's a supporter for that. Councilor Puget supports that motion. All in favor? Motion is carried. Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I may, then I would like to introduce the same motion with the breakdown that Councilor Puget had of Harrisburg. I just quickly wrote it down here. It's $5,000 for the
just look at
PCS.
What you've got written down there, Chicken.
Okay, can you, because Councilor Puget gave the numbers then, just so I got it right?
Yeah.
Amherstburg Community Services, $5,000. Amherstburg Food and Fellowship, $1,500, as they requested. Amherstburg Historic Sites, $6,500. The House of Shalom, $6,500. North American Black Museum, $6,500, and Windsor Symphony Orchestra, $4,000, and that amount comes to $30,000.
That's my motion.
On the motion, is there a supporter? Councilor Pilon supports that motion. We've had a lengthy discussion. All in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. Councilor Sutton and Councilor DePasquale may resume your chairs. Next item.
Item 10, reports from corporate legal services. 10.1, development agreement, 40 Royal Street, 111-8409 Ontario Limited, and 688-079 Ontario Limited.
What's your pleasure, Councillor Pilon?
I move that the report be received. Council approve the site plan and agreement for 40 Royal Street and bylaw 2014-54 being a bylaw to authorize the signing of a development agreement, being taken as having been read three times and finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign the same thereto.
Supported by Councillor Sutton. Any discussion? All in favor? Motion again is carried unanimously. 10.2.
Item 10.2, development agreement 265 concession 3 N-171-0690 Ontario Inc.
Thank you. I'll move that report be received, that council approve the site plan and development agreement for 265 Concession 3 North, and that bylaw 2014-52 being a bylaw to authorize the signing of a development agreement be taken as having been read three times, finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same.
Supported by Deputy Mayor Sutherland. Further discussion. Councilor Pilon.
Just a quick comment that as I read through the report, and if there is any change in the site plan, that it comes back to council for support on it. I want to insist on that.
Well, that always happens. Council.
No, you can't say always.
Ken Davey, come on.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you. Under comments, following the highlights of the agreement, section two, section 7 to 12 address requirements to undertake a stormwater management plan, septic approvals, if required. Do we not know yet if they are required? Should we not know that in the site plan agreement?
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. At this time, there's no building construction proposed, so there's no septic system required at this time.
But that would come
back. That answer your question, Councilor Davis? On the motion. All in favor? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Item 10.3, removal of holding zone for 265 Concession 3 North from 171-0690 Ontario Incorporated, Loris Calavino.
With the council's pleasure, Councilor DePasquale.
Thank you, Mayor. I move that the report be received and the council approve the application from 1710-690 Ontario Incorporated for the removal of the holding zone for property at Part 1, Plan 12, R 23428, being part of Lot 2, Concession 3, municipally known as 265 Concession 3 North. And that bylaw 214-53, being a bylaw to amend zoning bylaw 1999-52, as amended, be taken as having read three times and finally passed. And the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign the same.
There is support for that. Councilor Sutton supports that motion. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor. Motion is carried unanimously.
Item 11, reports from the CAO's office. 11.1, the 2014 municipal election advanced voting dates.
With the council's pleasure. Councilor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. The report from the Manager of Council Services and Risk Management, Deputy Clerk, dated June 12, 2014. Be received, and bylaw 2014-16 be on a bylaw to provide for advance votes to be held prior to voting day, be taken as having been read three times and finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same.
There is support for that motion. Deputy Mayor Sutherland supports that motion. Discussion. Councilor Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, I just one of the questions that may be redundant, but I didn't see anything here in the process in relationship to voting proxy for disabled people or people who can't leave their homes, and I'm just wondering if that needs to be pointed out, because it sounded more like people who are going on vacation but not people who are were capable of leaving their homes or frailty.
The proxy would be dealt with in the same manner as anyone for anyone else. They would just appoint someone as their proxy to
and the process would be called me. And I'm just concerned about what the process would be
for anyone with a disability that couldn't make it to the clerk's office. They could call, and I would go up to
on the same day.
Yes.
Item 11.2, 2014 municipal election, reduced hours of voting at long-term care facilities and seniors residents.
Councilor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Move that report be received and that bylaw 2014-15, being a bylaw to provide for reduced hours of voting in institutions and retirement homes, be read three times, finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign same.
Supported by Councilor Davies. All in favor?
And I totally understand the reason for reducing the hours, and that's okay. I hope that there is a mechanism in there to ensure that anyone who needed to vote had voted or wanted to vote had voted. And I realize the closing time is the same, but it does limit the time.
Yes.
Okay. Next item. All in favor? Carried unanimously.
Item 11.3, conservation and energy demand management plan.
It's council's pleasure. Councilor DePasquale.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. The report from the Manager of Economic Development and Strategic Asset Plan is dated June 9, 2014. Regarding the conservation and energy demand management plan be received, the conservation and energy demand management plan be used as a basis to for required for Province of Ontario reporting in response to the Green Energy Act. And the future energy conservation measures and sustainability initiatives as identified in the Conservation and Energy Demand Management Plan being undertaken subject to the annual approval of capital and operating budgets and forecasts.
There is support for that motion. Councillor Pealin supports that motion. Further dialogue? Hearing none, all in favor? Councillor Davies, did
that's
you
fine.
Have, no, you want to say
well,
something?
I was just going to say it was a fabulous report. A lot of work went into it, and I think that it'll be an amazing thing to follow up on. Will help our town a lot. That's all I was going to say.
Thanks for those comments on the motion. All in favor? Motion is carried unanimously.
Item 11.4, drainage at 753 and 757 Front Road North.
Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the report regarding drainage at 753, 757 Front Road North, dated June 15th, be received. And further, the administration be authorized to proceed with the drainage improvements on Lot 7, Plan 12M-373, brackets 1 Wayland Drive, subject to receipt of a letter of release from the owners of 753 and 757 Front Road North, and the cost associated with the drainage improvements be taken from the town's insurance reserve.
Your supporter, Councillor Davies, supports that motion. Discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, I had an opportunity to inspect this property, and I really do think that this was an excellent decision on the part of the administration. These people have been really struggling for quite a while, almost losing the back half lot of their property because it's been a bit like a bog anytime after a rain. So I'm really glad that this has finally been approved.
Councillor Pilon, well, we've got everybody. So let's start with Councillor Pilon. We'll come this way.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. My concern is, and it's finally getting done, but my concern is we've seen the site plan from 1997, and it had drainage plan on it. I'd like to know why that was selected not to be put in. Like, if it was looked at the time of the development, the developer would have put it in. So somebody needs to explain to me why it wasn't done.
Mike?
Thank you, Mayor. Unfortunately, some of the people that were with us and are not available today, but it was a bit unusual in that the amendment to the original site plan and basically then to the town's development bylaw was prepared by the engineering firm of the day. And it says on that attachment that I provided you, no rear yard drainage required. And as I understand it, that was because that catch basin at the rear corner was not able to drain to the front. And so they determined that they would follow this tile down to this catch basin and take it out to the OLAD drain. Nonetheless, as I stated in the report, subsequent to that, the drainage superintendent of the day for the town made the decision that catch basin was not needed, not required. And as a matter of fact, that was confirmed by the owner of that property just as recently as this afternoon, that he had purchased that catch basin and in fact was advised by administration to return that catch basin and it wasn't necessary. But once again, the concern I have with all of this is none of that was brought back to council for revision. So it's unclear as to who actually initiated all of that, but it didn't follow what I would consider proper protocol.
Councillor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you. As Councillor Pilon alluded to, it's a long-standing issue and obviously one that we want to bring the proper corrective measures to now that we're aware of the full scope of what should have occurred. That being said, my question is, will we need to access any of the neighboring properties in order to implement the solution? And if so, what safeguards are we going to put into place to ensure that we don't unnecessarily or unknowingly damage their property or cause any problems in that regard?
First and foremost, before I perhaps ask Eric for the details, The outlet for this area is the Olette drain, and there's certainly a working corridor provided with each municipal drain, so we do have access to get back into that area. We would certainly be working on a land owned by somebody other than the DeLucas. I think it's Mr. Parks, who lives immediately behind. And certainly the intention is to include drainage something less than was there originally, but along the rear property line of that property. And certainly to do any work back there, we would have to restore the property to the condition that's in now, but I think Eric could probably explain that.
Eric, if you would, please.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're looking at just using a small excavator backhoe, like one of those minis, to get back there to do that work. Come in through one Whalen down the property line and go to the back and dig that tile in with a contractor.
But you spoke to both residents of both properties, so they understand the property will be restored.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I spoke briefly with the Parkses today regarding their concerns with access to the rear yard. At this point, they have decided, how it was left is that they were going to review the report and get back to us on the decision as to access to their rear yard.
Okay. Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I believe Councillor Sutton and Councillor Pilar summed up my concerns, and I'm heartened by the fact that what Eric has just said, that we're going to make sure that we're not going to damage any property of Mr. Parks, and that's paramount as well. That goes along with I believe you planted some trees there, Mr. Parks, and you know, we want to make sure that whatever's put in there is not going to someday cause them a problem. Is that I'm sure that's being addressed, correct?
Okay.
Thank you.
We got a motion. Councilor Cousier?
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. And all my questions have been answered except one, and that is just to make sure that neither homeowner is going to be responsible for the cost.
That's correct, Council. It would come from the insurance reserve, and that's why we also ask for that letter of release from the DeLucas, too, because there still may be problems on that property, but not to the degree that they have been.
On the motion, all in favor? Councilor Pino.
Thank you. And again, I'm not satisfied on the answers that I'm getting for why it wasn't done. I'm looking here at numerous letters. That property has been visited, 97, 98. As we come into 2000 there, and our CBO, Steve's been down there, but yet, I guess, why couldn't have that been corrected then? These residents have been fighting that for a long time, and it should have been looked at sooner. And I'd like to hear Steve, see what his comments are.
Steve?
The permit was issued in 1997 prior to amalgamation. The drainage plan was done by a previous contractor, or engineer. The drainage, the yard was physically graded in the presence of the Amherstburg drainage superintendent, along with the representative from the engineering company that designed the subdivision, and that was done at the time that the rough grading and the finished grading was done.
But after all these problems, and anybody can see, if you walk behind and looked at that Ilstein, you must have had a concern with it, because anybody can see that there'd be a problem. That was a steep hill, and I'm quite upset. And that's why I made that comment earlier about a site plan. Any changes in these site plans, they come back to council. We approve them, we approve the changes, and that's the way it has to be. Right, you have issues like this that go on for years. So,
I just think we should, what should not be lost in this, and of course the amalgamation took place in 98, mm-hmm. and from then until just when Mike went up there, he was able to ferret out the fact that there was a print that suggested there was a need for a catch basin at that time, and that's the only reason why we found out about it right now. But having said that, I think you were correct in saying it's imperative that we ensure that there are no changes to that particular site plan unless it's been approved by this particular council or the council of the day. That being said, on the motion that is before you, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. Next item.
Item 11.5, countywide active trail system, County Road 20 and County Road 5, facility type upgrade.
What's your pleasure, Councilor Sutton?
Thank you. I'll move receipt of that report and that council approve the upgrade of segment AMH-13 and AMH-14 from signed only to paved shoulder facilities in the CWATS master plan.
There is support for that motion. Deputy Mayor Sutherland supports that motion. There's no discussion. All in favor? Motion again is carried unanimously.
Item 12, information reports. There are three reports before you, Council. Well, A was dealt with earlier, B through C, D, I should say.
Yeah. I would entertain a motion to receive, and if you want to speak on one, you can after I receive such. Deputy Mayor Sutherland.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move then the reports B through D be received.
There's support for that motion. Councilor Davies supports that motion. Discussion? Councilor Pino.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, perhaps Rebecca could just speak to a little bit about the building department.
What are you?
Because Steve then, but it was sometime back, maybe a week ago, there was a report on the news that Amherstburg had no building permits for May.
Sure.
And I hate when I hear misinformation on the radio. Because I heard it, my wife heard it. So
Steve,
I know that's what it said.
Would you want Steve to
I'd
speak
like
to that?
Steve to,
certainly. Would you
respond
allow
to that?
Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I saw that report too. It was also on CBC TV. And I was very surprised. No one from the media contacted our office to ask us what kind of statistics that we've had. They reported that there was no building permits issued for houses in May. In fact, we had a 10% increase in house activity for that month. But no one has contacted us. I don't know where they're getting their information. We will be putting that on the website on a monthly basis. And I am quite happy with the construction so far this year. I was a little bit concerned because we had a pretty slow start. I think that was because of the deep freeze. And since this report was done, we've had a few more single family houses come into our office. At the end of the week, we will be issuing the permit for the Family First Funeral Home at the corner of Crown Ridge and Sandwich. So I think our building is quite healthy. And I did do a little demographics. And if you're out in the Kingsbridge subdivision, just take a look at the way that the people are maintaining their properties, they're landscaping them. If you look at the parts of the subdivision that were under construction 2 years ago, and go back 2 years later, and it is just phenomenal, the pride of ownership that the people are taking with their properties throughout, not just that subdivision, but throughout the whole town.
Councilor Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you. Yes, I was heartened, too, to read the report and see the number of general building permits that have occurred, which shows us that, in fact, Amherstburg is on the move. What I think, though, we talked about a little while ago was an improved media strategy, and I think that we shouldn't wait for them to come to us. I think we should be releasing all the good news stories as they come in, building starts, real estate sales, all of the things that people are sitting back watching to see whether or not Amherstburg is the place they want to invest, it's the place they want to live, it's the place they want to build in. And I think we have to be much more aggressive with our media, our media releases, and take pride in sending them the information. Don't wait for them to ask.
But I think in all fairness, you have a report there in on this agenda, and that's what that report is for. Anyway, Councillor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor. Related to what Councillor Davies stated, could administration contact the news media that was responsible for that accurate report and just give the true report to them?
If that's the consensus, I'm certainly glad to do that.
Do you
want
me to make a motion?
Oh, yeah, it's got to be. Go ahead. I think we've got one on the floor, but you can certainly give administration direction to do just that. We have a motion on the floor right now, but I don't think we should be surprised. I mean, well, we've seen this. It's typical of the type of thing that transpire here, and certainly if you want to do an inventory on your cell, you can find out why they do things like that. They delight in trying as best they can, and they're determined to try and give it erroneous information relative to Amherstburg. On the motion that we have on the floor, could you read it back to us, please?
That information reports B through D be received.
On that motion, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously.
Item 13, consent correspondence, and there are two items before you, Council.
Councilors Sutton.
Thank you. Move that items 13A and B be received.
Supported by Councilor Pino. Further discussion? All in favor? Motion is then carried.
Item 14, unfinished business items as of Monday, June 23rd, 2014.
Councilor Sutton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you to our CIO, Mike, I know you mentioned, obviously, and I think all of council would agree and understand that the MMAH audit through Deloitte will take precedence. That being said, I just put forward a motion during budget deliberations, which was unanimously supported by this body, regarding the development of a long-term debt reduction and reserve replenishment strategy. So I'm just wondering how that factors in into the overall financial report that will be forthcoming.
Thank you, Mayor. In that case, what we were trying to do, and I think we reported earlier, that we're going to try to link that with the report that Dean was working on with respect to the survey, community survey and all of that. But that's been slightly delayed through the summer season of the university and things like that. So it may be, and we'll discuss that as quickly as possible at our level, at the administrative level, and report to council. It may be that we'll have to set that aside and proceed with the motion that you had brought forward during the budget sessions regarding the long-term finance strategy. So we'll review that and move on that as quickly as we can. I think it's also important, though, that we don't jump ahead of the ministry, because the ministry may have some very, very solid recommendations that will be very helpful to us.
Okay, thank you. But I think, having said that, I think council must understand that you can't continually go into administration for various questions and various concerns when we've got this on us. And, of course, if you've got them, they should come from this particular body in the form of a motion before they address it.
Excuse me.
Councillor Puget.
Thank you, Mayor Hurst. I'm just requesting it that we can put the roads report back on under unfinished business for administration to follow up or on the ongoing projects on the calendar.
Yeah.
On the calendar,
but
it's missing.
Okay. Any further unfinished business?
Just wondering about a couple other items that aren't on that. Would it be a good idea, Mike, to put it on the calendar? A couple of
what are they?
The media. I know it can't be done quickly, but can we put them on? On the calendar?
We've actually we were trying our SRM system. I forget what it stands for, but it wasn't working real well. So now we've actually gone to an Excel spreadsheet. We just started that last week, and our intention was to attach that sheet to the council agendas of items that have been raised by council. We aren't quite there yet, but we can put those ones on.
Yeah.
But the media policy has been drafted. It's sitting on my desk for review, and I expect it'll be on the July 14th agenda.
Okay. Is there any further unfinished business?
Yep, there's just one more.
Yeah.
Smoke bylaw, can you add that one too?
That's also on that list.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's also, I believe it's sitting on my desk.
There's no further unfinished business. That brings us, of course, to new business. Any new business? Councilor Pusher.
I don't know if this is the appropriate time to request that administration contact the news media that was responsible for giving false information, and if you could give them the accurate information concerning the building projects for that month that they.
I took that as direction a few minutes ago, but yes, we'll do that.
Any further unfinished business? Seeing none, are there any notices of the motion? No notices of the motion, that brings us to bylaws. Confirmatory bylaw?
The confirmatory bylaw.
It's your pleasure relative to the confirmatory bylaw. Deputy Mayor Sutter.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move the bylaw 58 for 2014, being a bylaw to confirm all resolutions of the municipal council meetings held June 23rd, 2014, be taken as having been read three times, finally passed, and the mayor and clerk be authorized to sign the same.
There is support. Councilor Sutton supports that motion. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor? Opposed? Motion is carried unanimously. I'd entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Deputy Mayor Sutherland, supported by Councilor DePasquale. All in favor? Again, that motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. Have a safe trip home.
The last council came out of the hospital.